Hello, everyone, and welcome to NWR Connectivity, episode 291. I'm your host, John Reardon, and I am joined, as always, by Neil Ronahan.
Hey, everybody. We are recording the day before Nintendo Direct.
Which, of course, means we will try to predict exactly what happens.
Yeah. So, looking forward to Metroid Prime Trilogy out the same day as Dread, right?
I think it's going to be a shadow drop, but, you know.
Mother 3's out now.
Oh, no, yeah. Metroid Prime Trilogy Shadow Drop is infinitely more likely than Mother 3 ever coming to America in any form. But joining us, for apparently the first time since 2016, is Donald Terrio.
Hi, yeah, it's my first connectivity since episode 206, back when I actually cared about E3.
Yes.
Remember E3? Little E3? We thought E3 was going to be this thing that was a part of us forever. And then, surprise, we all turned on it very quickly.
I think the writing was on the wall even back then, though it became much more obvious shortly after back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, we're going to talk about some games, and then we are going to look ahead to the Direct that you watched yesterday.
So, yeah, I mean, we'll get to that then. It's going to be Nintendo Switch Online related.
Yes. But,
stay tuned.
Yes. And inevitably, they will announce no new systems.
Yeah. Like, feeling pretty confident about it, but who knows?
Yeah.
We could be made the fool.
But we've all played some games. We've booted some things up. So I think first up, we've got Neil. You have played a little bit of something that's actually kind of new and on a Nintendo system.
Yeah, I picked up Flynn, Son of Crimson on Switch, even though it's on Game Pass. Just the way I'm living my life right now, which is playing a lot of portable games of like, oh, I already technically have access to this game for free. Might as well just buy it on another platform. But Flynn, Son of Crimson is a game from Humble Games that they also published some of my recent favorites like Carto and Dodgeball Academia, which are both fantastic games. Some of my favorite games of the respective years that they came out. And so Flynn, Son of Crimson is, I believe it's a Kickstarter game. Might be made by like maybe not just one dude, but like very small team at a minimum. And it looks like a Sega Genesis platformer that would like show up as like a remake, like Dragon's Trap or something on Switch. And everybody would be like, wow, this game was ahead of its time when it came out 30 years ago. And I mean that in the best way.
Sure.
Because it has this very nice pixelated look to it. Everything kind of animates really, really nicely. And I feel like saying like, oh, it's a run-of-the-mill platformer, but like it's good at what it does. You run, you jump, you attack, you collect items, you find secrets. You've got like a dog character that's like the guardian of the island that you need to like restore. It's like, I'm just having a really good time with it. It's a 2D side scroller with a very good dodge roll too, which I feel like, you know, thanks to Dark Souls, everything has a dodge roll now. But that makes combat feel really good because you kind of like when it's your way of dodging past an enemy attack is using a well-timed dodge roll. You have a melee attack, you have a ranged attack. I wish I had more time to have played more of this game before this episode because I would have a lot more to talk about it. But I sat down and played like a half an hour, 45 minutes, got through a number of the opening stages. It all takes place on a world map, and I think I kind of got to the first dungeon of sorts, and that's where I stopped. But maybe I'll talk more about Flynn, Son of Crimson in weeks to come. But I think it's really cool, and I think you should check it out if you are looking for like a cool looking pixelated platformer.
Cool. Yeah, I look forward to revisiting it as you get more of a feel for it and how it plays out.
Yeah. And I'll also touch on the latest Nintendo release, at least as of this recording.
Right, maybe before the Metroid Shadow tomorrow. Drop, yes, of course.
I think I'm relatively done with WarioWare Get It Together. And our review for it went up this week. Jordan Rudek gave it, it was 5.5. He did not enjoy the game very much at all.
Though 5.5... on a scale is still technically more good than it is bad.
Yeah. And I don't think the new WarioWare is terrible, but there's definitely a part of me that comes away from it wanting more, being a little disappointed. And I feel like I can kind of sum it up in a few ways in that I think some of the zaniness is redistributed in a way that I don't like as much. So in classic WarioWare games, it is kind of like there is, it's very simplistic input methods, and you'll just get the command of like, you know, like poke or something like that. And then you hit the button at the right time and you poke. And now with the fact that every character and there are a lot of different characters and they all control just differently enough where, you know, like Wario kind of has he flies around and he bashes stuff. Cricket jumps up. Dr. Krygor swims through the air. 5-Volt has this weird, haunting, teleporting smash thing. And like there's other characters that like automatically shoot and move around. And ones that you have to like aim almost like a twin stick controls and fire off spells and stuff. And it gets really complicated. And I think along the ways in how complicated it gets, you lose the purity of WarioWare. And not that it's not like it's, I still beat it. And I mean, it's not a terribly long story mode, but neither is any WarioWare game.
Right.
It's still, there's still an enjoyment there, but I consider like WarioWare on GBA or even WarioWare Gold on 3DS, WarioWare Twisted, Smooth Moves. Like, I love all those games and I've replayed them over the years. I don't know if I'm necessarily aching to go back to get it together in a while. And that's not the feeling that I had when I finished Smooth Moves or Gold. And that's disappointing. I came away from WarioWare disappointed. And on top of that, still kind of in like a COVID world. So while the last console one, well, I guess Game & Wario is a console one, but Game & Wario still fits for this because Game & Wario and Smooth Moves, the magical sauce for those console experiences was the ridiculous local multiplayer. I'm never playing that. It could be totally fine in this. It's just not something that I'm going to get to experience in its optimal setting like I was able to experience Smooth Moves in Game & Wario. So that could be a little bit of a your mileage may vary thing.
Yeah.
But there's also like that part of like you collect like random bullshit in WarioWare games. And in this, all you do is you can get different like treats or prezzies that then you give the different characters to level them up for an online mode called Wario Cup, which is there's a weekly event. And so far, the two events that I've played, one was actually totally fine. It was just kind of like hard mini games and try to get as high of a score as you could. I did not really compete too heavily in that. Casey Gibson, Xander, Perry, they all had pretty good scores. I'll give credit where credit's due. I'm not as committed to this game as they are. The one this week is like complete games in as fast a time as possible. And it's kind of just like, it's not that enjoyable. I'm concerned that Wario Cup, which they put all of their eggs in this basket of the post game of this game is basically either local multiplayer or Wario Cup. And I don't know if either of those are either good or things I will actually be able to play in the optimal setting. And a little bit, it's like, I mean, me getting older than I was with Smooth Moves and Game & Wario, but it's all like we're in a pandemic, man. Obviously, yeah, I don't think they designed this entire, they didn't like come up with the scope of this game, like working from home. I hope not. That would be very miscalculated.
This is, I mean, it's hard to say this in a way that doesn't come off as saying that like 2D games to be like, oh, well, these don't take as long to make. But something about WarioWare makes me feel like this probably didn't go into development 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's off base. So yeah, it's weird how tone deaf that would be.
Yeah, Gold was 2017 or 2018.
Summer of 2018.
That's okay. A late 3DS game.
Jeez, yeah, I didn't realize it was that. No wonder I don't think anybody cared about it. but like I would thinking about it, like maybe this game didn't start development right after, but I would still peg like a 2-year dev cycle for this.
What, more than half of it was probably during pandemic?
Yeah, but I mean, like, there's a point where, like, if you come up with, like, the this is the plan for the game, and you're midway through development, and a pandemic happens, it's not exactly easy to just be, like, turn on a dime and be like, we're going to put more budget into this WarioWare game that's going to sell a couple thousand copies. Like,
yeah, maybe it's time to stop making WarioWare.
I mean, they did for a while.
I mean, this is the same company that this year put out an online patch for a game that came out in 2018. So who knows what's going to happen with this game getting more support. And then
it came out with it. It would be like if you do an online patch for WarioWare, and then like 6 months later, they're like, by the way, we're bringing back WarioWare from GameCube.
That's what they yes. Mario Party. Yeah, we're gonna patch this and then immediately make it kind of obsolete.
Yeah.
A good move.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think if I were to score WarioWare, I'd probably be a little more generous than Jordan was, but I was expecting a lot higher hopes for this. It did not hit those goals, and it's kind of a bummer because I look at, like, this year has been way more disappointing for me for Nintendo than I kind of hoped for, because like Mario Golf and WarioWare are two things that should totally be my jam, and they did not leave me as impressed as I would hoped.
Hey, Mario Golf is growing on you.
It is. That's true. I mean, definitely, I like Mario Golf more than WarioWare so far. So,
ouch.
I said it last week. I'll say it again. Mechanics of Mario Golf are fine. There's a lot of other things that I don't like about the game, but the mechanics are good, and that's a very important thing to have in a sports game.
Yeah.
And for all we know, they've announced something major in the Direct that is like, oh man, Mario Golf is now Game of the Year.
Yeah. I mean, they could. Like, there's potential. It's like, I don't know, maybe don't launch a game with like 5.5 courses or whatever. And most of them aren't good.
I thought they were. They're all just golf. It's all just golf. But speaking of updates to games probably too late, Donald, you... You booted up a game.
Yeah, speaking of relitigating Mario games.
Yeah.
for a project that I'm working on that's going to go up next week for the patrons, I booted up Mario Maker 2 tonight and went online. And I don't know, I remember back when that launched and when the friend update launched, trying the online of that, and it had the whiff of a very out of control tire fire. And I tried it tonight, and well, maybe it's just there's not a lot of people playing it, but you know, I only had really one match that had a lot of hitches with it, and it didn't stop us from completing the level in co-op. So
that's good.
Yeah, I still haven't designed anything in Mario Maker 2, just because I'm still not comfortable with the interface, even though I know I have a stylus somewhere for a Switch. But yeah, I mean, playing the levels is still fun, and you can't really screw up 2D Mario platforming that badly unless you're playing lost levels or something.
I mean, it sucks about Mario Maker 2. Also, I apologize for ruining Mario Maker 2 because I'm very proud of my scoop of reporting that they didn't have Friends Online multiplayer.
They should have called this the Fuck You Neil update.
Yeah, because it's so bad that they had to announce during E3 that an update was coming, and that probably is why there was only like two updates for the game before they just shut it down, because they had to prioritize doing the Friends update. So I'm sorry, everybody, but I'll take partial responsibility of Nintendo not having an obvious online thing and not realizing that people would be upset about it. But Mario Maker 2, that final update's actually awesome. Like, my kid got really into it, and there's a lot of fun things in that game.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know we've talked before about it missing kind of the weirdness of the first one, but as far as just like a feature set goes, I like the couple of the costumes they did add have like actual, they changed the game.
The Link stuff is super cool. Like really deep. The Mario 2 stuff, really fun. You know, the fact that you can make worlds, I mean, kind of too little too late, but still like a really great idea.
Yeah, I should get back into that, but there's about 30,000 games on my Switch right now, so I can't really devote any time to any one of them. which is why I haven't played WarioWare Beyond the Demo yet, so.
It's fine. There's probably other things to play.
Yeah, but we'll know about by the time you you hear this episode.
Yeah,
tell us, dear listener,
what happened.
Then again, I'm the one person who's looking forward to Tetris Effect Connected on October 8th.
Will that have Labo VR support?
I hope so.
Not on OLED.
Oh, right. Yeah, because the OLED screen's too big for the VR.
I'm just saying the VR Labo was, I mean, that was the best-selling Labo kit. There's still potential there. You need to go back to that well.
Do they?
Yeah. VR is the future, Neil. Especially cardboard VR that you have to hold to your face because it doesn't have a strap and it's too heavy. Ooh, how much more does the OLED weigh?
I'd have to check.
I know it got reported.
Because that would be like, because I made a strap for my Labo VR headset.
I remember that.
But yeah, having all of the weight out, you know, 5 inches from your face does create some torque on the old face bones.
Okay, so I just pulled up the tech specs page. The original or the most recent Switch is approximately 2/3 of a pound or 0.88 pounds when Joy-Cons are attached. The Switch OLED is 0.71 pounds and 0.93 pounds with Joy-Cons attached.
Wait, is that...
That's official from Nintendo's website.
Okay. So very similar. Those are both lighter than I would have thought they were.
It's a very deft system.
Yes.
Tetris Effect Connected, I played that in VR on my Quest 2, and like it was mind-blowing. And I do think it's the kind of game that I might technically triple dip, because I have it on Xbox. That's where I first played that game, was when it came out on Series X, when Series X came out. But having it on Switch, like, it's just a really chill, good game. Optimal in VR, but like still very, very good. I think you'll have fun with it.
Yeah, I'm a pretty big puzzle fan, so give me another shot at that Tetris, and I think I'll have a good time with it.
Donald, what is the name of this other game you've written down?
Olympia Soiree.
Yes, it's Olympia Soiree. It's the latest in the long-running series of visual novels developed by the One Good Branch of Idea Factory and localized by Axis. This one, because they put out 6 of those things last year, the editing on them was, shall we say, questionable, to the point that I believe they had to patch one of them around Christmas time just to make it not a complete dumpster fire. But now that they took a break and there was less than 2 handfuls of screenshots I grabbed of typos, and they're minor typos anyway. So good on them for that. Although this is a very, shall we say, racially charged visual novel, because the point of the game is that your female point of view character, she is the only person in this world who has white hair. And the society that she is thrust into is, you basically, your social status is determined by your hair color. If you have primary colors, you're at the top. If you have like secondary colors, you're in the middle. And if you have a mix, or God forbid you have black hair, way down at the bottom.
Not black hair.
Yeah, that was very true to life. But because your character can have whatever children she has, she can they'll have white hair, and they'll repopulate that tribe, because again, she's the last one. So she can marry anyone she wants. Which at one point in that game, just a content warning here, if you're just skip ahead about 30 seconds if you're concerned about certain things. Your character does get raped when you're dealing with the Ruth that has the black haired character on it.
Jesus.
All right.
Yeah. And
did people get really mad about it, like in Boyfriend Dungeon?
No. And this had less of a, I don't think this game had any content warnings in it at all. I had to supply them in the review.
It's almost like visual novels just that should be part of the territory, and Boyfriend Dungeon did nothing wrong.
Anyway. Yeah, I mean, then again, did Boyfriend Dungeon come in an M rating?
No, okay, so this did get an M. Yeah, fair point.
Yeah, so that going through that scene about a week ago, that was that's probably the most uncomfortable I've been with playing one of these, and I've played pretty much every one of them that's come out in the last 2 years, and one of them involved the Bloody Mafia. So yeah, never trust people with jade hair, apparently. But it's a good read, even if you're, you know, if you're not comfortable with dealing with those kind of things, that's, you will have to at some point. But it's one of those ones that's going to make me think, kind of like the game about revenge on cops in a quarantine that came out in June 2020 did.
That's a good timing.
It was not intentional. I mean, that game originally came out in 2017 on the Vita and stuff, but just the timing of it coming out on Switch.
They just looked at it and they're like, you know what would be really funny if we were released right now?
Yeah, make they were like happen. Sitting on it, like waiting, and they're like, wait a minute, this is the perfect opportunity.
And I think I talked about that game on the games that got us through 2020 video, so you can go check that out on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Yeah. I was expecting 2021 to be like, okay, we can do a normal game of the year this year.
I mean, we'll see. It's gotten better, but like,
it's better.
It's not, I mean, I guess it's also the shock of the first year when it's absolute garbage, as opposed to the second year is just kind of like, we've gotten used to it at this point to a degree.
Yeah. Is it better or are you just numb at this point?
I think I'm numb to it.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, that means like we're learning to cope with things. Like that's, I guess, silver linings.
Sure.
I'm probably more mentally healthy this year than I was last year. So,
yeah.
I'm putting in work. Thanks, therapy.
I know I'm more physically healthy than I was last year. But then again, I spent the first quarter of last year laid up and getting antibiotics every day.
Yeah.
I just got another, I got another cat. So that helped. That was my coping mechanism. I had another kid. That, you know, we all... We all deal with these things in different ways.
And some people got new jobs, and apparently somebody hired the man that made the Majora's Mask video from a couple of years ago.
Oh, you segued. Damn. Look at that, you go.
Kena Bridge of Spirits came out on PS4 and PS5, and this was a game and that PC. You got it on PC?
No, I just wanted, I wanted to make sure the Sony fans didn't get the satisfaction of thinking they had an exclusive.
But it's Epic Games only?
That's still on PC.
Once again, to that developer, get that paper. Like, good for you.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got money from Sony
Epic
and
Games
Epic.
Pays well. Yeah. They could just get the get that Game Pass money and you're golden.
Yeah, and then get that. Nintendo, I don't think, really offers money. I think it's just co-marketing. Nintendo, what do you have to offer indie games? You could be in an indie world video that people will just be mad that Hollow Knight isn't at.
Well, I, honestly,
so Microsoft is paying money and you'll break even at launch, and Sony's paying money because it's the first year and a half of their console and that's when they care about indies.
Yeah, that money's got to be, that'll be drying up soon.
Yeah, it's going to be dry soon. But like, good for, once again, you know, good for Bugsnax, good for Kena, good for, Heart Machine. What's the name of the Solar Ash Kingdom?
Solar Ash, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
The guys who did Hyper Light Drifter, which I'm sad that is, I mean, I think that's another Epic one too.
I think it is, that one is on PS4 too though, right? It's not just PS5?
I'm not sure. I don't have either console.
Oh, you don't have a PS? I thought you had PS4.
My PS4 is completely broken, and I talked to Sony about the cost to repair it, and I would be better off just buying another PS4.
Sure, but like, why? Yeah, why buy a PS4?
That's why. Yeah, it's kind of like, eventually I get a PS5, and then one, I don't see a big reason to buy a PS5, and two, how?
I've had to have that conversation a couple of times where somebody asked me if I'm going to get a PS5, and I'm like, yeah, there's nothing I want to play on it right now. And they were like, what did you want to play on Xbox? And I was like, nothing.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I used my one. I used my one of the thing that was like a totally frivolous purchase. And I picked Xbox over play. I could have picked PS5, but I mean, really the allure of Game Pass. And at the time I was playing a lot more Sea of Thieves with people.
I'll play. I did start the Pirates of the Caribbean Sea of Thieves campaign.
I haven't done that yet.
It's very charming. Just rare doing Disney is like, there's
especially that Disney.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It's got great music. Their Johnny Depp impersonator is terrible.
Well, that's the only way to do it.
Yeah. But I kind of hit a point where I was like, oh, I'm not supposed to be doing this solo. So I need to hop online and play it that way.
Anyway, PS5, I'll get one eventually. I'm hoping to wait for a revision. Because there are games I would play on it. There's just nothing that I'm like dying to play.
A system seller right now.
Yeah, but I am curious to hear about Kena: Bridge of Spirits, because initially, like, the, you know, there weren't a lot of there was pre-launch buzz and then kind of like radio silence, and then it came out and it seemed like people really liked it. So, John, where are you at?
It had a weird road of like get announced, everyone was super hyped, and then it kind of came out that like it wasn't going to get a physical edition, and like, and it was just kind of being very quietly dumped out. See, I was sort of up in the air.
It was supposed to be, I think, like a launch game, and it just kept on getting, like, there was a Q1, then it was summer, and now it's out now.
Yeah. But initial impression, I'm a couple hours into it, and initial impressions are good. It's, you can, like Donald alluded to, the studio behind this got their start with a Majora's Mask fan animation, which is funny, because the plot of this game has some striking similarities to Majora's Mask. The entire point of it is you are a spirit guide who helps wayward souls accept their fate and feel better about their lives, literally using a mask for each character as you go across. So there's some Majora's Mask inspiration. But the gameplay itself is somewhat Zelda-like. It doesn't really have dungeons. So I will do the lazy thing and just go, it's more like Star Fox Adventures. Because it has that sort of, you're in this big interconnected world that's, I guess, kind of an open world with lots of gating and stuff. But yeah, so you're not doing dungeons. The entire world is just sort of a puzzle. I guess it's sort of like the overworld of Skyward Sword in that regard, where it's never about, oh yeah, just go over there. It's going over there is hard, and you need to figure out how to go over there so you can get this item, and then you need to go to the next place. Which I kind of like. I don't feel like there's a lot of games now that do that as much. Like, it's a very classic, you know, maybe early 2000s feeling Nintendo style game.
Yeah, that's what I saw from some. I didn't like read I didn't go through every review, but I did see a lot of commentary about like it feels like a mascot era kind of game, or like mascot platformer for the PS2 era.
I would agree with that. I will say it has some, it stylistically, it's beautiful. Like, you can tell it's from a studio that started as an animation company. Like, the animation is probably some of the best I've ever seen in a 3D game. But like, the visuals almost kind of do it a disservice, in that when you're just kind of looking at it, you're like, this is a big budget AAA game. And then your character moves, like you actually control the game and like do some combat, and you're like, oh no, this is definitely an indie 3D game. Like, there's like, this isn't bad by any means, but this doesn't have the polish on it that I would expect out of like a game that looks like this. So it's kind of this weird mental disconnect of like, oh, this is very indie. But it just looks incredible. I'm playing on PS4, of course. This is the first time I've gone back to, since getting my Series X, it's the first time that I've gone back to the previous generation on PlayStation or Xbox. And boy, you don't truly appreciate 4K on one of those systems until you jump back to this, which I think probably runs at about 900p. And obviously that's better than most Switch games, but I've just grown so accustomed to it with Switch that my brain almost feels like it's a Switch game. Like, it can't quite figure out. It's like, this isn't what the good home console games look like, but it's also not what the handheld games look like.
Yeah. There's a weird thing of like looking at a Xbox game versus my expectations for seeing a Switch game on a TV.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, I expect it to look like Garbo. This is fine.
And when it does, like when a Switch game, when you put that on the TV and it's like 720p, you're like, oh, like, all right. Fancy.
So the other thing with jumping back from PS or Xbox Series X to the old gen was the load times. I've seen that discussion going around a bit this week. Has that been noticeable in Kena?
Not so much, just because it is, like, once you load in, the loading times themselves aren't that bad, and then once you load in, it is a seamless world. So there was only one time, actually, right before we started recording, where I got to a door, and it didn't open, and I was like, oh, crap, I can't open it from this side. It's locked. I've been playing too much Metroid. And then started to walk away, and then it opened. And I was like, oh, that was a loading screen that I just got to.
Trying to be clever.
Yep. But no, other than that, I haven't really had any issues with loading. And that, I will say, is the nice thing about still also playing Switch, is that I'm keeping myself grounded in the world of sometimes games have to load. Because, yeah, it is, you hop over to that Series X and just everything is instantaneous to an almost comical degree at times when you're playing older games.
That's what, like, it bothers me when I play, like, a game that's optimized for Series X, and I'm like, what's this loading bullshit?
Yeah, yeah, then when there is loading, yeah, you're like, what in the how dare you?
Whereas, like,
in
the Switch, like, for, like, I remember, because I was playing Age of Calamity when I got my Series X, and, like, the Age of Calamity load times are really bad. They never bothered me, just because I'm like, all right, gonna load in this level, gonna put down the system, gonna look at my phone, gonna, like, have a snack. And then I'll come back, and I'll go smash some Bokoblins.
Well, that's, I have that with a game that I'm reviewing right now, which I won't say the name of because embargo, but where I'm trying to kind of judge, I'm like, these loading times seem a little bit long. And then I'm kind of thinking about, I'm like, well, are they actually long? Like, are they out of the norm for the system I'm playing on? And should that factor into it? Or is there just a new normal for what loading is? And now the Switch is behind. But yeah, no, I like it. I'm gonna play more of it. It's a little jank. It probably relies a little bit too much on the combat for how kind of okay the combat is. It can't seem to decide if it wants to be Ocarina of Time combat or Dark Souls combat. And it's in this awkward middle ground of, like, it's Ocarina of Time, but you have a dodge roll and you better use it because enemies do a lot of damage. It also has a parry system that I think I've gotten to work once. Though one of the guys at work is playing it on PS5, where it runs at 60 frames per second. And he said that just switching between the 30 and 60 frames per second modes on PS5, the parry is way easier to do at 60 frames per second, which kind of makes sense. So, yeah, that may just be a kind of a downside of playing it on the worst possible platform.
Yeah.
Also, to confirm something you mentioned earlier, Solar Ash is cross-gen PlayStation, PS4 and PS5.
Okay, cool.
Sweet.
Yeah, so I'm lacking two consoles that I could play.
You can come over and we can buy it and we'll play it.
Yeah, no, I'm looking for, I mean, like, Hyper Light Drifter is incredible, and everything, I mean, they keep on showing Solar Ash at every PlayStation event. I think it got a release date. I don't know. I'm looking forward to that game. I like that. I like that developer a lot.
Yeah, still just October 26th is what's according to Wikipedia, so we know it's true. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that might be it.
It's soon.
I might see if I can play it on PC or something. I'll figure it out.
Just get a PS5. It's easy. They're everywhere.
They're not.
I hear they just released their first revision.
Yeah, they did, actually.
Yeah.
If I can't get a PS5 in my apartment, Neil, are you going to be able to get one in your house?
I mean,
like, fit it through the door?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I did get a fridge in here. It required taking off some door frames, but I got a fridge in here. So I think I should be able to get the PS5. I just might need to, like, take.
Are you talking about a literal fridge or the Xbox Series X?
I wish I had the Xbox Series SX fridge. Here is Xbox Series X story. My furnace broke last December, which sucked. But the people in the basement, they were, you know, repairing, like taking out the old furnace, putting in the new one. And I just hear from my basement, because that's where my Xbox Series X, I already had it hooked up, but I had the box downstairs. And I just hear the guy go, like, fuck, this guy's got an Xbox. And then it came up, and, like, then we, like, talked about KOTOR for like a half an hour.
Which nice. Ironically will not be coming to Xbox.
Yeah, yeah, X. Hubrisly. Yeah, that's it. That's actually that's one of the games that when it gets a release date, that might be when Neil starts looking at a PS5.
Hopefully that's good.
A lot of questions.
I hope it's good. They're calling it an actual remake, right? Not a remaster.
Yeah, and they did not show a lot of it, but that was the name of the game at that Sony.
we do know that it's being made by Aspyr.
They give it
their best shot.
Yeah, they make games.
But, yeah, and like they're functional. They do occasionally manage to release Xbox games that look worse on Switch than they did on Xbox. But like they're trying, and like, hey, at least it's on Switch, I guess.
Like, who did they trick into getting the Star Wars license?
Are they doing this?
Yeah.
Yeah, even their N64 Podracer port is like missing effects from the N64 game.
I think they did add some of those in. Yeah,
yeah,
they patched the suns. I remember that very clearly, but yeah,
they have not patched Republic. Well, no, they did make Republic Commando now runs fine. It still is graphically worse than the original Xbox version.
That's hilarious.
And if you're wondering what the trick is, they're the low bidder.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's why Forever Entertainment still gets work.
Their Jedi Outcast port was fine. And I think Jedi Academy was fine.
Yeah. But then they didn't know, like, I think the online was randoms only or something.
They took the online out of Outcast and then.
Yeah. And they put it into Jedi Academy. But
like not everything from Outcast still. Yeah. Yeah. It was.
Yeah. No, I was looking forward to that. I used to play that online quite a bit with friends, and like legitimately was talking to a buddy of mine being like, dude, we could totally play. And then we got in and we're like, no, we can't.
Yeah.
Remember those good times? We cannot relive them.
Yeah. Split screen multiplayer on Jedi Outcast was like my go-to first person shooter.
Yeah.
On GameCube.
I like those games. Those games are fun.
I was going to say, speaking of games that are fun,
yeah, speaking of games that are fun, and even, I don't know, N64 games that, like, Aspyr worked on the Nintendo, on bringing the Switch on Nintendo 64, there are rumors swirling around that might get confirmed by the time you
might get
this.
Confirmed yesterday.
Yeah, might get confirmed a few days ago, but Nintendo Switch Online, there's a lot of smoke that is not worth getting into, because either we're going to be hopelessly wrong on what this could be about, or we're going to look foolish because it's already. And why are we doing this? Just why are we here?
Because this is what the people want. All seven people that listen to this podcast want
Nintendo Switch Online.
Yeah.
Probably getting new consoles. The rumor mills seem to be pointing towards Game Boy and Game Boy Color. And or Nintendo 64, I believe. Is that accurate?
Yeah, especially in light of there was an FCC filing that has, I believe, dropped confidentiality by the time you read this or hear this, I should say.
It's September 24th. Yeah.
Yeah. So pointing to a new controller, which presumably has some sort of wireless capability or some sort of Switch accessory.
I think the code name, like the serial number, whatever for it, resembles what the NES and Super Nintendo controllers that you could get for Switch Online games.
Yeah, because like I think it was HAC 43 and 42 was the Super Nintendo controller,
and 41 I think was NES.
I hope it's just a giant shell for the Switch that makes it look like a huge Game Boy.
Oh, so
like you
dumb.
Just slide your Switch.
That is like what the hell is are you gonna put Nintendo 64 controllers that like go on the side of a Switch? Although I guess with the Super Nintendo ones, like those are just USB controllers. Those are nice little. I like the little Super Nintendo controllers. The NES ones suck because like when am I charging them?
Yeah,
I'm gonna want to play some NES games. I will take my Joy-Con off and put these unholy hellscapes of things on the side of them overnight.
I would complain about that, but I use the Switch Pro exclusively on my Switch, so I've already got the hellscape dealt with.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we each picked a game or some games to fit into three different categories. First, we'll go through games that are reasonable expectations that we're looking forward to play on Nintendo Switch Online. Then we'll go to ones that are in the realm of possibility, but not 100% guaranteed. And then ones that are virtually impossible, but a boy can dream. So let's start with the expected ones. Donald, what is your game that is a safe bet that you're looking forward to play on Nintendo Switch Online?
All right. For the Game Boy family, I went with Mole Mania.
That's a great game.
Miyamoto Oblige, and it does seem like the kind of thing that would probably get its third or fourth life on Switch Online as compared to buying it on Virtual Console. I know it's a puzzle game, but that's about the extent of my knowledge, even though I either got that game from Club Nintendo back in the day or bought it. I've never really had the urge to boot into it, but
I believe I played through it on a cruise ship going to Alaska. I also played
what?
I also played Sweet Memories Blackjack on that cruise ship too. Bounced between the two games. I went on an Alaskan cruise. It was around when it came out on 3DS Virtual Console, probably like 2013, 2014. But that game is super fun. It's a very clever puzzle game. Miyamoto had a hand on it. Came out kind of late in the first life of the Game Boy before Pokemon came out. I think like 96 or something like that. And would definitely be a game that would be great to play on Switch.
Yeah, and the other one that I'm expecting, and this is entirely for my parents because they're on my Switch family plan, Mario Kart 64.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, because it's, let's face it, we're probably going to get most of the Virtual Console lineup on an N64 online. And Mario Kart 64, the night after we got our N64, somebody was up playing until 4 a.m., that was my mom.
That's awesome.
So this way, since they're on my plan, if it does happen, I can abscond with their Switch for like 5 minutes at Christmas time and download the N64 and see if my mom will stay up all night again.
That's awesome. My N64 pick, I guess kind of piggybacking off of that, although I don't have the mom story. My mom actually got really into Mario Kart Wii. But that's a story for when we get to that time, when Wii games are coming to Nintendo Switch Online. My N64 pick is F-Zero X for similar reasons of Mario Kart 64, and it would be super fun to play online. And it'd be nice to actually play an F-Zero game on a console again, because the last time I did that was actually F-Zero X when it was on. I think I played a lot of it on Wii Virtual Console. I love that game.
It's a great game, and I wonder if Nintendo will try to sell that as the original Battle Royale.
I mean, there is Death Race.
I think, doesn't multiplayer cut you down to just the people playing? Like, isn't that how they maintain 60 frames per second, as they take out all the Maybe. CPU racers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, man, just if you can't think of anything to do with F-Zero, just remake F-Zero X, slap in the story mode from GX, and give us 100 Racer Death Race.
I would just like to play F-Zero X on my Switch.
I'd just like to play F-Zero, please.
Yeah, no, any F-Zero will do, except for the Super Nintendo one. I've played that too much.
And maybe Maximum Velocity. You can keep that one.
Yeah, I don't need that. It needs to be a console one after Super Nintendo. But the Super Nintendo one's fine.
I have two specific games.
Yeah, X or GX, that's it.
I'm not picky, but it has to be one of these two.
My Game Boy pick for expected that I'm excited to play is DK94 because that game's incredible. It's one of my favorite like puzzle platformers of all time.
My expected for Game Boy is Metroid 2, which I think that was on the Virtual Console on 3DS, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that feels like...
I feel like that's right almost now, a slam dunk.
Though, counterpoint, you might lose out on a few Dread sales if people play Metroid 2. people are like, well, I've never played a Metroid game, but I'll try this.
That's cute that you think people are playing the Nintendo Switch Online games.
Yeah. And then likely for N64 is... Star Fox 64, which
of course,
as long as it's not the Wii U, the thing I'm scared about for the N64 on Switch, if that is indeed a thing that happens, is that the last time Nintendo put N64 games on one of their systems, their emulation was just legendarily awful.
Yeah.
So
in a way that I think it's their worst. Their worst emulation. So,
it was like, you know what, maybe we won't update our Wii games because it makes them worse.
I think they did the same thing with the NES, though, and the NES games that have come out on Switch Online have been fine.
That's true. Yeah. They're less complicated, though. Like, there's a lot more room to mess up N6. And mess them up in weird ways. Like, Star Fox 64 on Wii U ran too fast and messed up the button inputs because it was running too fast. Like, it arguably ran too well and broke itself. So it's that kind of weirdness that I need them to avoid.
And this is the thing with N64, just as an entire concept on Nintendo Switch Online that is very exciting to me, is that it seems like that these games being playable online is I would hope, something that would carry forth to other systems. Being able to, like, play four-player Star Fox 64 or F-Zero or Mario Kart, like, that's really cool.
I do kind of wish I could, like, do lobbies. Like, there are some of those games where I would totally take playing with some randos.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I think the problem with that is that, like, that's way more development work than what they're doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you. That would be cool.
Should we cycle around to likely but not guaranteed?
Yeah. So how about, John, you kick us off with that?
Sure. I'm going to go with, for Game Boy, Lunar Chase, because it's localized.
Yeah,
they have the ROM. Please release it in English, sir. Which they probably won't. But, like, I feel like there's been a surprising precedent for that stuff on the Nintendo Switch Online service. Of like, hey, this never came out in your region, but we have a ROM for it. Do you want it? So
I think we got Mario Super Picross and Panel the Pond that way on the SNES service.
Yeah, well, they didn't even
paddle the pond. They didn't even local.
They're just like, here's the Japanese ROM. Good luck with the menu.
That's because they called the North American version Tetris Attack for some stupid reason.
Yeah, put Yoshi in it. Made it better. Everything's better with Yoshi. You played Mario Galaxy 2? People love that game. All they did was add Yoshi and make the game worse.
Yeah, but like I said, it's not the fact that it's not the Yoshi that's the problem. It's the Tetris part of it.
Tetris sells, baby, I think. Did it sell? Did Tetris Attack sell? I think it sold. My dad was obsessed with that game.
I mean, it was a great game.
It's a great game. It is weird that they wouldn't... Did they not have the rights to the Tetris name? Is that why they can't put that on?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's presumably it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just change it to Yoshi Attack. You change one sprite on the menu and you are good to go.
So my hopeful but not guaranteed... I actually scrambled. I realized I had two Game Boy ones, one of which was X or Lunar Chase that you already called out. My other one is Pokemon Gold, Silver, Crystal, just like from that era. Like, it'd be cool to be able to play those games. I don't know how that would work. It, you know, potentially that would be pretty cool to, like, work with Pokemon Home on Switch. But that also seems like the kind of thing that if that were to ever happen, it would not be on Nintendo Switch Online. But I like, those games are on 3DS Virtual Console, so it can happen.
On the Virtual Console versions, could you, like, do link battles and stuff with them? Like, did they get that sort of functionality working? Because that would be the thing.
The only reason I didn't put Pokemon in my top in, like, the guaranteed to be coming tier is because when they built that functionality in to the 3DS versions, they charged, like, triple the price of a normal VC game.
That would be the question, is do they value Pokemon low enough to put it on this service, or would they rather just sell it to you again?
I could see them doing, like, Red, Blue, and Yellow, because this is the 25th anniversary of Pokemon, and so far they've got, like, a music album, a couple of anime shorts, and Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, which, cool, but we, you know, another re-release of Red, Blue, Yellow or something would probably be a capper to that.
Make more Let's Go games, by the way, Nintendo. Those are the best Pokemon games.
I've been looking for the right opportunity to start Let's Go with my oldest, because I think he would actually,
it's a great,
he would actually get into
game.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible.
But I would have put Red, Blue, Yellow, but I think I'm done replaying those games. Although, let's be honest, if they wound up on Nintendo Switch Online, I would probably play it.
Sure.
But my N64 pick, I had to scramble for this because I did not have one listed for likely but not guaranteed. I am going to go with Diddy Kong Racing. I don't think Diddy Kong Racing is like, I think I would put this potentially in the next tier of pretty unlikely, but I could see that being, I mean, they did, you know, Nintendo, Rare, and Microsoft got together and, you know, Diddy Kong Racing DS did come out. Like that was a video game that came out and kind of messed up Diddy Kong Racing a little bit, but I could see there being some kind of, you know, agreement here that Diddy Kong Racing came out on N64. On the N64 Nintendo Switch Online. It probably would involve Nintendo paying some money.
Yeah, it depends on if they have anything, if they have something Microsoft still wants.
Yeah.
Like Game Pass on Switch.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's not impossible.
Yeah.
It's the all the parties involved have some sort of communication. It just depends if they figure it out. So Donald, what are your likely but not guaranteed picks?
Okay, well, I had Pokemon just mainline in general as my Game Boy pick, but I'm going to audible to Bionic Commando Elite Forces.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good game. I had that on Game Boy Color as a kid.
And it was actually published by Nintendo initially, but the question is, does Capcom care enough, or would they want to sell that separately in a different collection down the line?
I was going to say, that came out on 3DS.
It did.
Yeah, no, that was a pretty good game. Early NST. I think one of their first games, if not the first. Related to that, do we think Crystalis Game Boy Color will come to this?
It's already on the NES one, right? The NES Online?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so then yes, 100% it will also be on this.
And my hopeful but not guaranteed N64 pick is what I think would be the equivalent to pro wrestling for the NES library or Stunt Race FX for the Super Nintendo, Cruisin' USA.
Yeah.
Ooh, that actually, with the hype around
Cruisin' Blast.
Yeah, that could actually land pretty well, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, once again, that's like Diddy Kong Racing, where is it a slam dunk totally going to happen? No, but all the parties involved are still active and still talking. I haven't booted up my copy of the new Cruisin' game, but I have heard that that Nintendo's copyright is still firmly in there because they co-own some of that name.
I just realized I forgot to do my possible but unlikely N64, which would be Custom Robo, another. Yeah, Japanese only N64 game.
That might be one of those situations where you can get it on the Japanese app if you need it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one I was looking at. That'd be cool.
It's a cool game. I just want Custom Robo to keep existing.
Yeah. Sin and Punishment. I would not say
that's actually a good one.
Yeah. Because that one, I mean, that I think that came out on Wii U Virtual Console as well.
Yeah, that one they claimed. Game. That one they localized the main menu.
Yeah,
and didn't localize anything else, but
yeah, I would like to replay that game. It's a very good video game.
Yeah, they should make more Sin and Punishment games.
I hope that developer's not dead, because I think they are.
It's Treasure, so maybe.
Yeah,
yeah. I had another one on the N64, which was Mischief Makers, but
a good game.
I think that's NX though, and the Square has been extremely reluctant to let out Enix properties that aren't Dragon Quest. See also the Quintet games.
Yeah, like I every year I get madder and madder that like I can't play Terranigma legally. Because really, I mean, like Soul Blazer, Illusion of Gaia, and Terranigma is an astounding Super Nintendo trilogy. ActRaiser still occasionally shows up, but like, nothing else from that Quintet era. But although Mischief Makers was published by Nintendo in America and Europe.
Yeah, I think that's why I was in this tier, not the next one.
Yeah.
Speaking of the next one, what do we got for our this won't happen, but it sure would be nice games?
For me on Game Boy or Color, this is probably a very me pick, but the third game I ever got for my Game Boy was Super RC Pro-Am, and that is outright rare. And I don't think that's ever coming.
My Game Boy pick is one that I don't think is possible, but I'll hope. That's the Frog for Whom the Bell Tolls, which is on the Link's Awakening engine, or at least similar engine as the Link's Awakening engine for Game Boy. It's by Team Shikamaru, which has actually been very active, or at least like the remnants of it. They did the Famicom Detective Club games back in the late 80s. They did Metroid 2 Return of Samus and Super Metroid. Also did Balloon Kid, which is a pretty great game. And, you know, like Sakamoto was involved with this game. And with the fact that like Sakamoto is just living his best life, you know, remaking the Detective Club games, getting to do Metroid Dread after 15 years, maybe as a treat, they're like, guess what? We're gonna bring the Frog for Whom the Bell Tolls to English for the first time on Nintendo Switch Online. And also, the Prince character in that, he's an assist trophy in Smash. So, like, it's you know, got some kind of legacy. Yeah, he's not going to be the final Smash character, but maybe the game can happen.
My weird Game Boy Color pick is specifically the Game Boy Color version, not the Game Boy version, of Dragon's Lair. Which, unlike every other console port of Dragon's Lair from the time, is, like, 100% arcade accurate. And is not a 2D platformer, but is an FMV game on a Game Boy Color. It's amazing.
How in the hell?
You, dude, look up footage of it. It's like, it's amazing. And then sit there and be baffled by why the Super Nintendo one is a crappy platformer when the Game Boy Color one is an arcade accurate port.
I want to live in the world where, like, I go to a bar and somebody's got a Switch hooked up to, like, a projector and they're playing Dragon's Lair for Game Boy Color on Nintendo Switch Online.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
It's an incredible, incredible game.
PAX East 2022, we raid the Dave & Buster's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dragon's Lair.
Ironically, there is a Dragon's Lair arcade at the Dave & Buster's. And we're like, no.
Yeah.
We want I said the real Dragon's Lair.
Like, legitimately, at PAX East, I think I've seen Dragon's Lair arcade projected on a wall, too. So it would not be out of place.
Yeah. I mean, well, it'd be better.
Yeah, it would be better.
I need to hunt down a copy of that cartridge. I've only ever played it in emulation. I'm sure it's crazy expensive.
So, one I had down for not realistic, but I'm not too sure about it now. Metal Gear Ghost Babel.
Oh, that'd be great. That and the Resident Evil game, Gaiden, is another one that I've always heard, like, interesting things about.
Yeah, except I don't think the Gaiden ever came out, did it? I thought that was...
No, that was a, like, nearly finished...
Oh, okay.
It never officially released. I think the ROM is out there, but it never officially came out.
Yeah, Ghost Babel did, but I just don't know if Konami would touch it at this point.
I know, apparently Resident Evil Gaiden came out on Game Boy Color. But I think it's bad.
Is it like the semi-3D looking one? Like where it has like the Resident Evil perspectives and everything?
No, it's top down.
Oh, what am I thinking of?
Although it goes to apparently a first person view with a reticule.
Good.
When you get attacked.
Good.
But Ghost Babel, yeah, Ghost Babel.
Yeah, I hope that is a thing, but I don't know. But for the N64, I listed this as the transfer pack. But I'm specifically thinking about it in the context of Pokemon Stadium. You might be able, like, you may be able to get away with just the mini game portion of it in a Switch Online, but I'm wondering if they would go all out, and if there was a Pokemon game on the service, if they would let you transfer that save data into the game.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. They won't, but that'd be amazing.
Just give me, like, a Pokemon app that lets me do that.
Either that, or you could do, like, you mentioned home in the context of moving the old games in. Maybe they do it with that, but
yeah.
But that would be. But if I could play, if they could set up something where I could go to the Dodrio Tower, whatever, and play the NSO Pokemon games at 3x speed, that would be an unreal feat.
That would be amazing. I don't think it'll happen, but boy, am I going to root for it.
Yeah.
And also that would give us full functionality in Mario Golf.
Yeah, that's another one I was kind of thinking of was mobile golf, which I did that Mario Golf History, which that's the weird one that like had online connection via mobile phones in like 2001 on Game Boy Color. But it also has Foreman Spike as a golfer.
Nice.
Okay.
I guess I'll go with my N64 pick. I have three that I'll kind of bang out pretty quickly. The one that my heart wants is Major League Baseball featuring Ken Griffey Jr. I think it's pretty self-explanatory why that would probably never happen because it was a licensed baseball game that came out 25 years ago.
That wasn't the Rare developed one, was it?
No, this was Angel Studios, aka the company that would go on to make Red Dead Redemption.
Okay.
But yeah, this was the first one on N64. I didn't like the second Slugfest on N64. I didn't like it as much. But yeah, like I think the early Rare ones, Ken Griffey's the only licensed player. I think the teams are licensed, but not the Players Association.
That's right.
So yeah, this would not be able to. I will not be able to, you know, take the have Miguel Cairo on the 1998 Tampa Bay Devil Rays. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. It'd be cool though. Well, didn't
they have? Isn't there precedent for them going into the sports games and taking out all the licensed names? And
only in Tecmo Bowl.
Okay. I mean, that's still a precedent of some sort.
I think this game has like voice acting of like announcing players. It would require a lot of work that I don't think would happen. My other two, one of them is unrealistic. The other one is not realistic for Nintendo Switch Online. GoldenEye. I would just like to play GoldenEye Online, please and thank you. That is also a licensing nightmare. But maybe it could happen.
Who even has the James Bond game license at this point?
I think it's probably the Broccoli's having some kind of kill switch on it. I don't know who has the game license right now. I think that's up in the air because I don't like who had it.
It
last?
Was Activision at one point.
Yeah, but I don't think they have it anymore.
I don't think they did. Even if they did, they haven't done a major Bond game since the Wii launch.
Yeah, I will say I think GoldenEye 64 coming back in some capacity is it's non-zero. It's firmly non-zero, but it is extremely.
It'll be on Xbox.
Yeah, it'll probably be on Xbox.
It'll be on Switch.
And my last one is Shadows of the Empire, the Star Wars game with Dash Rendar.
That'll be Aspire's next.
Yeah, no, that's kind of what I expect. But I think there might be some chicanery where, like, the N64 version, Nintendo might still have some be able to like has some right to. So maybe.
So they could do what they did with Republic Commando and port the PC version.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the console version.
Which is, yeah, I think we're going to see Shadows of the Empire playable on Switch within the next year or two. I'd kind of just prefer to be on Nintendo Switch Online, but I'll take it anyway. I can get it.
Yeah, that's
a terrible game that I love dearly.
I did play through it like from start to finish like a couple years ago for the first time in forever. And it sucks, but it's still pretty fun.
It's really charming.
I remember getting the code for debug mode out of a Nintendo Power in like 98. And I think in the long run, I broke an N64 analog stick because I was doing it. Because you had to hold down like,
every button.
All the C button, like the four C buttons, L, R, Z, left on the D-pad. And then you had to move the analog stick left and right. So I used my nose for that.
I recall doing that with a friend. It would be like, all right, you hold down these buttons. I'm going to hold down these other ones.
So it's essentially the same experience as running and jumping in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, pretty much.
My unrealistic N64. Well, okay. So the first one has to be Buck Bumble.
Oh, yeah, duh.
Our boy deserves the love he's earned years.
Let's play the original Rocket League online, baby.
Yeah. The game that Rocket League wishes it could be. And then the just pile of games that I feel like Nintendo could get for literally no money to fill out their lineup. These would be like the Data East games of the N64 library is just every Army Men game. literally no one wants them. And they have to be cheap. So just buy them and put them all on there. There's a million of them, and half of them are pretty okay.
Now I'm looking up who has the rights to. Oh wow, this might get remakes instead.
Who has it?
The entire 3DO Studios library is owned by Ziggurat Interactive, who have done some ports.
They've been doing Bayonetta, Blood Rain, literally, yeah. Like the 2D one came out, and I think they're doing the first two are coming to Switch too.
That's right. That just got announced. All I know is
the last semi good Army Men game was Sarge's War on GameCube and Xbox. And I'm pretty sure that was a case where, like, one studio started making it and made a bunch of cutscenes and then went under, and another studio bought the cutscenes and made a game to fill in the gap. And I don't think I'm making that up. Like, I think that's pretty literally what happened. So this is prime real estate that's just waiting for a loving home on Nintendo Switch Online.
This is just an excuse to give Dana Gould work, isn't it?
Gex coming back? Is that...
That's actually on my list. I didn't bring it up, but that was one of my backups.
When, like, I played Gex when I was 10, I thought it was the funniest game ever.
When I got the EverDrive for Dinosaur Planet, I then was like, what other N64 games have I not played in a long time? And I loaded up Gex with very fond memories. Gex sucks.
It's bad.
Really bad. That being said, I play the crap out of it on Nintendo Switch Online. Because, I mean, I played the crap out of it then. I just spent the whole time going, this is terrible. I'm going to keep playing. I would like a Spyro Reignited Trilogy remaster of the 3D Gex trilogy. Maybe with, like, some updated pop culture references to be relevant to today's youth.
We brought Dana Gould back.
He's cracking wise about Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
He's cracking wise about politics. Who knows what side he'll be on? I think he's left.
Gex is a staunch Republican.
Gex is very anti-PC culture.
Yeah. You know, you say it that way, and I'm like, yeah, no, Gex is definitely...
Guys, remember when Gex said the N-word? Terrible. It happened in the first level.
It was a different time. let's see, do we have any unlikely games left?
I'll just throw out the Mother obvious three. well that's GBA for one thing,
but... Earthbound 64.
Okay, that one works. I'll throw out the obvious one, WrestleMania 2000, as in
no mercy.
Well, I don't think they would do well. No Mercy is extra buried along with the WCW games because of the one guy who killed his wife and son and then himself.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not great.
Take that guy out.
Yeah.
There's an existing wrestler that can probably crib the moveset entirely. But if anything, what they'll do with that is they'll just take that engine, they'll modernize it with All Elite Wrestling, and that will be the game that comes to Switch.
I feel like with N64 sports games, as long as you take out any, like, portraits of people, it's not like the N64 models reflect a human of any kind. So, at best, you have, like, two polygons and a blurry texture for a face. So you're pretty safe. You can just be like, no, that's complete fiction. It does not reflect anyone living or dead.
Yeah, except you have to go in and edit all the entrance music, too. Unless you do one of the WCW games, because they just had generic stuff for everything.
Yeah, you just take it out. Just mute it. Well, with that, I think we have an episode. Let us know how we did, if you're listening to this in the future,
really,
which is the only time you can be listening.
I really hope they're all playing Lunar Chase this
weekend. Yeah, we won't, but we can dream.
Live to dream.
Yep. If you... enjoy this podcast, hey, and you're maybe on, like, iTunes or something, you could always leave a review. That's a nice thing you can do. You can send us listener mail. Maybe you have some games that aren't on whatever was announced. What if it could also be that no platforms are announced yesterday? But either way, send us some games you'd like to be playing on your Switch. And we can talk about them, or any other listener mail. You can send that to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Connectivity NWR? Or NWR, yes. Connectivity NWR. I'll never figure it out.
And we're going to have a weird schedule next week for reasons. Yes. Some of it's covering the Direct. We'll probably have an episode. The next episode will go up Monday-ish, I think.
Yeah, like early next week, let's say. Yeah. Let's not firmly commit.
And then we will not have one, normal time next week, end of October 1st. But then we will have one the day that Metroid Dread comes out on October 8th, and it will be our Metroid Fusion episode. So
you can listen to it while you play Dread.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine the just piles of Metroid you can revel in.
Fusion's amazing.
Fusion's great.
Yeah.
Also, there's something if I can just jump in with a plug here.
Do it.
If you are a patron of Nintendo World Report, patreon.com/NWR, there's also an ad for it at the end of the show most of the time. I've been doing audio essays every week, inspired largely by Retronauts, who have the This Week in Retro column. So I've been doing the NW Rewind every week on the Patreon since about March. Basically taking a NWR covered news story from at least 2 years in the past and looking back with a little bit of perspective on it. So recent things we've talked about are Super Nintendo games coming to NSO, the Rare Bio by Microsoft, and Sega Atlas last week, and also the Wii U launch event, which, well, that was a disaster. And the reason that I was playing Mario Maker earlier is because our next subject is the Mario Maker Friends update. Again, we're sorry.
And you can get access to those for as little as $1 a month. Well, yeah, I think that'll do us. Thank you, Donald, for joining us this week.
Glad to be back and not podcasting for 11 minutes at a time.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Adios.
Bye.
This was made possible by our generous supporters on Patreon. Check out patreon.com/NWR for all the details.